This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, Nadpoles. Caldwell here to talk to you about Hero Forge, the best place to get fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. I actually just built a version of my Underdark Gnome Illusion Wizard, Kraslo, for use in a home game my friend has been running, and it was incredibly fun getting to scroll through all the options and details to bring this mage-handed menace to life. Their easy-to-use design tools let you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D, in-depth character creator right in your browser. Oh, and before you ask, yes, Hero Forge has goggles, and yes, Kraslo is wearing them. So if you've been thinking about splurging on a miniature for your D&D campaign, wait no longer, because May 2nd to May 9th, Hero Forge is having a spring sale. You can get 10% off all physical miniatures and free shipping, including international shipping on all orders. The figures are tiny, but the savings are huge. To take advantage of this great offer, visit HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature today, and check back often because new content is added every week. Ooh, good to know. Kraslo just got a hat of vermin in the campaign, and I really want to find an annoying top hat for him to wear to represent that. In the meantime, that's it for me. Thanks for listening, and happy forging.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everyone.
Bahumia.
I'm your dungeon master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hard One Surefoot.
Emily Axford.
Moonshine Sabin, the infamous Gaslamp.
And Caldwell Tanner.
Beverly Togold the Fifth, the bad book boy.
Oh. Bad book boy. Bad
you did boy. Open a Check bad little book.
I opened a bad little book. Nicolas Cage is here, and he's telling me all about it.
Why are you opening bad books, man? It's like looking at a little at like pornography.
Oh, and he did find it in the woods, too. This is shit. Beautiful.
This
a little puberty
classy.
Story.
It's a
what if that book just has
suburbs.
Porn in it? What if you nice. Just turn the next page and it's just porn?
Thought maybe no, I'm really like... trying to recognize the cover.
Hard One
she
would
love some good nudies.
I thought there'd be like a Jeff Togoldblum like nude shot in there.
Very good.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. All right, guys, let's do a recap. So last week, you guys continued your adventure in the fog. Balnor cut a giant infected snake in half with
Hell
a
yeah.
generous
yeah,
amount of help from you guys.
Balnor the brave.
No, he did it all on his own.
He did it all on his
That's
own.
That's true.
Bahumia.
Balnor made a fucking sleeping bag out of that piece of shit.
We are all Balnor.
Then you all battled a corrupted ent and another infected snake that was hiding in the crick itself. Hard One was swallowed by the snake and nearly killed, but Moonshine turned into a gaseous form and entered the snake. With a lucky roll, she caused the snake to regurgitate Hard One, and from there, you took control of the battle and won.
All-time yeah. best moments on the podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was certainly the best three we've ever rolled.
That's not true. Sometimes Beverly roleplays something stupid, and it's really fun to see.
Sometimes I fail in a fun way, and then
yeah.
you know, we all have a little
I love
laugh.
A good, I love a good bad role in a roleplay.
You then headed into the mysterious living wood full of dead ents until you came upon two living ents beating the shit out of each other. You asked a nearby crow which one of them was the good guy, then Hard One promptly axed the bad guy in the back, saving the good tree ant. The tree introduced himself as Greenshade, then took you to a quote-unquote safe part of the forest to rest for the night. Once you got there, Ol Cobb immediately recognized a tree where his and Maribel's initials were carved.
He is off his rocker.
That tree was suspiciously not affected by the crick rot and still quite alive. Moonshine tried to talk to it using speak with plants, but all it said was, "I'm sorry, Jolene. I'm sorry, Jolene."
It's a creepy tree.
Yeah.
Beverly sensed an evil presence in a nearby cave and investigated. You all entered the cave, and Beverly unearthed a book with a powerful evil force. When he pressed his amulet to it, the book swung open, and the first page read, "Your name, your blood, my power."
This book is overdue.
Bethlehem Public Library.
And that's where you guys are now. You guys are in this cave, and you've got this cursed book, and you see Balnor walks in the cave, and he goes, "You know, I think
I might want to read that book.
Balnor, do not read the book.
Balnor, sure? I'm going to take Balnor out by the rope that I tied around his waist.
I've got a really nice Dan Brownleaf book that I think would be perfect for you. It's a mystery thriller.
Yeah. All right, I do like
so
thrillers.
So presumably this book is... Okay, have I seen this book before? If this is in the Crick, is there talk of this book? Is it like a known lore or anything like that?
Go ahead and do like a religion check.
Nat 20, baby.
Oh my god.
You're going to have to give me this one, huh?
Yeah. You recognize on the front that there are some, you don't speak the infernal language, but there is.
Oh, but it is that.
It is some kind of devil book.
Okay, so this is the book that was calling to me. Clearly, Maribel must have put her name in here. Whoever puts their name in here gets Asmodeus's powers, but becomes a piece of shit.
I see. Should I try to chop it in half with my axe?
I kind of think so, yeah.
I cast Protection from Evil and Good on him.
Probably going to die if I do this.
No, yeah, that protects you from charm, frighten, or possession. So,
all right, sweet.
You know, hedging your bets.
I'll swing my axe at the book.
Go ahead.
Watch this. 20.
Oh. You swing down on it. You strike true. Gimli style, you are thrown back.
Ow!
I spores it. Spores nothing. It. I haven't encountered anything
the
that...
The faces on the front eat the spores.
Let's cover this book back up with some rocks, right?
Mm-hmm. I think we should bring it with us.
Wait,
hold on. Hey, let's...
How are we going to get... get rid of this? Yeah, that's right. He's going to wake up in the middle of the night. We're going to have to tie him to a tree while he sleeps tonight.
Yeah. We should have been doing that anyway.
We'll tie him to my legs.
Yeah, that's true. That's you're right.
Trees.
Yeah,
that's two trees, baby.
That's two redwoods.
Hard one makes his quads dance.
Well, do you think that you can secure it in some way? Are we going to do this like we did with that sword?
Yeah.
You could wrap it up in that green tablecloth thing.
Oh, but then I wouldn't be dual cloaking anymore.
Your dual cloak is so dirty.
Sacrifices have to
all
be
right,
made.
I'll wrap it up in that cloak I found.
Okay.
And then I'm going to walk out of the cave and see Balnor and be like, y'all, we just took a dump and I got it here in this bag. So no one wants to open this bag. This little cloak, I wrapped it all up. We didn't want to leave our dukes there.
There is a hole in the corner. I don't know why she pooped right where she did.
Why are you putting the bag into your pack?
You're bringing no trace.
This is
a pack in, pack out forest.
As a green knight, I can tell you that's how you do it.
Sorry, Balnor, if you've been shitting anywhere but in this bag.
Oh. All right, from now on.
Well, don't shit in this bag. Shit in your own bag.
Shit in the sandwich bag.
No.
Because we've been going through those. You had me feed the tree a sandwich.
Shit in the empty sandwich.
Balnor, we all brought our own doo-doo bag, and you got to go in yours, okay?
Yeah.
I might go in there and grab that book, if that's okay.
No, you can go in and look for that book. Go on in.
Let's go to sleep, all right? This little green patch, maybe it's fine.
We're not going to sleep under the tree. I say we sleep in the cave.
Oh, okay.
That's my thought.
That's a nice idea,
actually. Okay, I think that the evil is localized to that book. As far as I can tell, this place is pretty safe. You know, screaming trees aside.
All right.
This seems unrelated, though.
Let's sleep here. I'm going to tie Balnor to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of like spooning Balnor.
Yeah.
This is a great privilege, Balnor.
This is a little weird.
You're obsessed with this book.
A little nighttime reading. What's wrong with that?
You're obsessed with the book. We're not going to let
you read the book.
All right. You see, as you kind of wind down for the day, Luna transforms back to a human.
Boo. Oh.
I'm no longer interested.
Oh, hey, Luna.
Hey. So I don't remember everything that happened. So sorry if I was at any point rude or loud or
Luna.
Anything like
you
that.
You were rude in like the coolest way.
You were.
Yeah.
You were amazing.
We strangely enough, respect rude people a lot.
Yeah.
She laughs and she goes, well, thanks, guys, but it's a curse. could kill someone, so.
You did kill somebody. I mean, you killed a snake.
Did I? I killed a snake.
Just
a snake.
Who killed the snake?
I think I killed the snake, actually.
Oh, Balnor snake? Snakesbane. Yeah, that's true. But we all fought together.
I vaguely remember having fun and tearing some stuff up.
Ow!
Tearing some shit up.
Yeah.
Ow! Ow!
I remember that.
Ow!
I do remember that. I do remember that.
You howled and we thought it was cool.
We're the howlers now.
That's our new thing.
I'm going to go sit by myself for a little bit and pray, if that's okay with everyone.
I'll join you. As an acolyte of the light, I would happily join you in prayer.
Luna and Beverly go off and start doing prayers in the cave. Cave prayers.
Curl up with Balnor. And do I... I'll just say this and hope that it's true. I make a little nest of Glad's hair on Glad's severed head that I've been carrying.
Oh, it's so stinky.
And I say, go to sleep here, bird. I made you a nest.
Bird goes down and starts pecking at Glad's head. As you do that, Luna's...
Oh, shit.
Beverly, you're there with Luna.
Yeah.
You see her eyes go yellow for a second, and she sniffs the air, and she turns, and she sees Glad's head.
Oh, no.
And you see...
Oh, that old
she
thing.
She goes, what the fuck is that, dude?
Okay, I guess we should fill you in.
She transforms into a wolf. What the fuck is that, dude?
All right, Luna. I love you when you're like this, and I can explain. I can explain everything.
The fuck do you have Glad Roselle's head for, dude?
You guys, let's just tell Luna the truth.
Yeah. I'm all about transparency. Glad was evil.
He was a piece of shit.
Glad was working. Fiala's not a good person. She's kind of like genocidal, if I'm being honest.
A tad.
Don't say that. Don't fucking say that.
I'll fucking fight you. I don't care.
You'll fight me?
I will fight you.
Fight me, dude.
All right.
Fight me, dude. She's getting up in your face.
Hey, all right.
I kiss her. Did I misread that?
A lot of passion in the air.
What's going on?
Okay.
She turns back into her human form. What's going on?
Came on to me strong. It was cute, though.
What happened.
here's the deal, Luna. So Glad Roselle murdered my mom and murdered my dad. Hi, I'm Hardpoint Shorefoot.
What?
Yeah.
We didn't give you the full rundown.
So I found out that Glad Roselle killed my parents, and I killed him. Do you blame me for that? I wouldn't.
This is a lot for me to unpack right now. I don't want to fight you right now. See your eyes go yellow. So I'm just going to cool off.
Good.
I'm going to go outside.
Take a walk.
I'm going to go outside because I don't know what to believe anymore.
That's a good place to be, though. Yeah. I believe that we've all been there.
Yeah.
And trust we're all no better for it.
Don't trust anybody, including us, Luna. Why don't you go out and take a walk?
I don't trust you.
You don't have to. We're going to earn your trust.
Seems like something that maybe could have come up before I went into the fog with you. And
I pick up Glad's head.
I'm a little bitch. I offered to suck Hardwood's dick.
Oh, she turns into a werewolf and punches you in the face.
Ow! Oh, I was joking.
19 to hit.
That hits. Take a
Put
walk.
Put it down.
Take your legs. A walk, Luna. Christ, you gave me a bloody nose.
All right. I'll take Luna for a walk.
I don't want to be near.
She can walk herself because she looks like a dog. Maybe we don't use that language.
Fair enough.
What did you say about going for a goddamn walk? I'll take myself for a walk.
I hide the leash I've made.
Yeah, girl, go get it.
All right, you do you.
She walks off.
Sorry, bird. Don't worry. This is a good bet.
Keeps pecking at Glad's eye.
Bad bird.
Ah!
That was some kiss, Moonshine.
I know. I mean...
She transformed for you.
Huge misread of signals.
I felt like... I just felt it happening. And I honestly don't know who leaned in first or if either... It was like a Ouija board.
Oh, I saw it. It was clearly you.
I think it was a Ouija board.
No, I was watching. I was like, pretty up close.
Who was moving us together? No one knows.
Yeah.
You did.
I felt the chemistry too, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
You did seem to baffle her out of her rage, which was good.
It was electric.
Yeah. It wasn't until you started making Glad talk out of his head, which was quite funny.
That was hilarious.
You were keeping it a little too light right there.
If I can make Cobb laugh, I'm doing something right. Cobb, you were there, right? He offered to suck my dick. It was insane.
It was ridiculous.
I dry hump his head for a second.
Dude, you gotta stop. He starts to
laugh. All right, before
Dude,
she gets
you gotta
back.
Stop. You gotta stop. Gets
back. I think you just get it out of your system because I'm enjoying it.
All right, I'm tired.
Quick question. So I, when I was in the west part of the Crick, I found a journal from one of the Crick elves that mentioned something about the fog and the way that it kind of affects your head and your dreams and everything. I'm wondering if we should maybe station a watch or something like that. Maybe and Cobb can
I'll be,
take
me
shifts.
And Cobb will be trancing. All we need is 4 hours to trance. So yeah, that's a good call. Cobb, right.
Well, you should just...
I report spores to everyone but Cobb.
And I just spit on everyone. I'm just kidding.
Something's going around. And what's going around is I don't trust Cobb.
Yeah.
His head's in the right place, but his heart certainly isn't. Yeah. Or maybe the other way around.
As long as you're still cool, too,
because you got the voices whispering in your head.
Bitch, wisdom saving throws ain't nothing to a crick.
All right. Because Cobb's not going to be really that helpful. I know, but keeping
I'm
an eye on you.
To the point where I'm concerned that maybe we need to drug him and keep him out of this fight. I'm scared he's going to do something stupid.
He'll never be able to forgive himself if we don't. If he can't kill Maribel the second time.
I just feel like he's going to jump in the way of one of us.
Well, maybe.
I don't want to get him out of this fight, though.
I don't want to.
He's got to make it right. He let her escape the first time.
Okay.
But let's keep a close eye.
I needed to bring it up.
While we go to sleep, if you're going to stay up for a little bit, you want to try to talk to Luna. Maybe just let her know that Theala was going to murder everybody that didn't bend the knee to her.
I think she's not ready to hear that. I get the impression she's not ready to kill her idols.
I think baby steps are going to be important here.
Okay. Yeah. I figure we got Bev. Bev can sort of...
Yeah, I have a very unique relationship with Theala as well, and I hope that I can parlay that with our good friend Luna eventually.
Okay.
Yeah. Hard one, it's very big of you to let Moonshine volunteer to talk to Luna, though.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing.
Well, I mean, who wants to talk to her as a human, though, right?
Yeah. I'm only interested in the chick when she's a wolf, man.
This is a fun little triangle then, huh?
Yeah.
Beverly's just excited because, like, he's in that weird position where he's the only one in a relationship, so he gets to, like, give advice to his friends.
Moonshine, you know, I'm not trying to be in a relationship or anything like that. Hardwon, if you want a relationship, she's all yours.
I'm not looking to settle down. I'm not ready for a relationship. My last ex fucked me up.
Yeah, and I got leaves on my boots, and that's what I do. I leave, after work.
True that.
Respect.
Relationships, right? Yeah. Woof. A lot of work.
I was cleaning up all around Bohemia on my way to Moonstone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You guys heard of a dry spell? This was monsoon season. Let me tell you.
Darn.
Hard one looks wistfully into the distance, knowing he didn't get laid at all.
In the back of Bev's mind, he's adding, get Hard one laid to his side quest.
Moonshine feels pity for Hard one for the first time.
Yeah, it was crazy. All right, I'm going to go to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
Are you going to stay up?
Yeah, I'm going to stay up in trance. And then what about this tree, Greenshade?
Greenshade's just kind of hanging out. He rests. He also trances. Mm.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm just going to rapport spores him and tell him the situation about Cobb and say, okay, you and I are really going to take shifts.
Cool, yeah. I'm good.
Cool. Okay. I think we're covered.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Great. I stick my thumb up.
Bev tries something new where he just like a hang loose sign and kind of like looks at y'all to be like, eh?
I would jump on board. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone loves it.
All right. Keeping it light. Hang I kind of make it look like an L.
But mine's like pretty tight.
Okay. Yours
Pinky
looks...
and the thumb are like super, super close to each other.
Looks kind of like a dog's head.
Yeah.
What you got in your mind?
Hanging loose.
Buddy. Okay.
So, Moonshine, you start to do your trance. You see that Ol' Cobb is also doing his trance, but he's looking right at that tree.
I'm just like saying, good job. Good job, Cobb. We're trancing.
Yeah, we're trancing. We're just
so
meditating.
Good to share this some rest. With you.
Yeah. Last time I was out here sharing something with somebody.
He just starts heaving weeps.
I guess I play a little song for him on New Betsy. I seem to always ruin people's feelings when I do this, but maybe it'll work for you.
No, this is like a beautiful cry, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Then let good. It out, brother. Thank you. I cried too.
Thanks. You guys cry together. It's beautiful. You see, after a little bit of you trancing, Moonshine, you see Balnor falls asleep, Hard One's asleep, Beverly goes to sleep. You see Luna comes back after like a couple hours. She's still in human form, but her eyes are yellow. You can see that she's pissed, and she looks at you and just mutters, fuck you, dude.
Joke's on you, because I like you, Spicy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm spicy as fuck right now.
Yeah, and yeah. I love it.
Good.
I love
good,
it.
I hope you love it.
I would toss it around with some crawdaddies. Gobble it right up.
Bev is pretending
right
to sleep.
You see Luna climbs up in Greenshade and goes to sleep on one of his branches.
Does she have a tail right now?
No.
Okay. But like
Goku
in a way,
style?
Yes.
Yeah, she goes up in the tree and she goes to sleep. Moonshine, as you're trancing,
okay,
your skin starts to get itchy. And you look at your arms, uh-huh, and you see that you're developing some little black scabs. You start to have angry thoughts. You look over at Hard One sleeping, and you think,
how dare you, Murph? You son of a bitch. Go on.
You look over at Hard One, and just this, you know how you have those little dark thoughts that just come and go?
Sure.
And you think, this fog is so dangerous. If Hard One were to die, it would be super sad. But then nobody else would like Luna in wolf mode. It would just be you and Luna.
I would not think such dark thoughts.
Just a quick thought. Just a quick thought. It goes right away.
But this is not coming from me.
This just quick. Just right away.
The quick folk have no jealousy and love.
Moonshine, are you talking to someone?
No.
Okay.
You're dreaming.
All right.
And Moonshine.
You're making little stains.
Oh, Hard One, geez, Hard One's also dreaming. Smile spreads across his lips.
You're sleeping like a dog when like you can tell dreams. They're having a dream about running.
It's like, it's not real Moonshine thoughts. It's like if you're driving and you're like, what if I just like went off this ramp right now?
Yeah. Whoa, you're like, that too?
What if I? Yeah, of course.
Dark thoughts.
We're going to save it for the short rest.
Yeah.
We're going to dig into that. Subscribe on Patreon.
So, you see, as Beverly's kind of stirring, Moonshine, you have this thought. And again, just this quick little fleeting thought. If Bev were to die in here, it would be so tough. It would be so sad, but the party might be a little safer, right?
Oh, Melora. I think right now, what I am questioning is not even the crick rat. Right now, I'm just like, you know what? Having emotional feelings for someone or wanting to be with someone is turning me against my own friends, and I think that's dirty. And I don't know if I even like Luna anymore.
Moonshine, suddenly, you're in a black void. All alone.
No.
And you hear a voice in your head. Well, well, well. If it ain't the little fungal princess.
Oh, dear.
I mean, technically I'm the fungal queen, although I do abhor any sort of monarchical.
Oh, I'd have to give up my throne for you to be a queen, sweetheart.
You think I'd place these beautiful cheeks on wherever you've been shitting?
You see, out of the darkness emerges Maribel. Her skin is gray. Her pupils are black. Her hair is full of fungi, and the bottom half of her body is like a mycelium. It basically looks like she's wearing a dress of webbed roots. And
pretty.
She floats.
I know,
I love it.
It really is. I do.
Oh, do you like my dress?
You know, Maribel, I'm not so small that I can't acknowledge that you look fucking great.
Oh, thank you so much. You don't look so bad yourself, sweetheart. See, she holds up her finger. And you turn into your fungal form.
Oh, thanks. I didn't even have to use a wild shape for the day.
No, you didn't.
Ain't that nice?
No, you didn't. Moonshine.
Maribel.
When you get mad.
Yeah.
Do you ever ask yourself, who's the real Moonshine?
I think that I've never thought to ask that because I think that in general, people contain dualities. And I enjoy living in a duality, sun and moon.
Very Jolene of you. You see, she pulls out a black-capped mushroom.
Oh, I see you've been leaving your mark around the east side, huh?
More than you might know. You see, it grows in her hand until it's one of those, like, sickle monster guys that Hard One fought, like a little diseased Schubert. Mm-hmm. And she cradles it like a baby. And she goes, you know, my spores are very powerful. And they evolve over time.
they usually only survive long enough to become something simple like this little one, but once in a lifetime, a miracle can happen. You see the little mushroom guy grows into a fungal entity, and it looks like a baby-sized version of your fungal form. And she goes, "Well, don't that look familiar? She looks just like you. And heck, if a crick elf can turn into a mushroom, why couldn't a mushroom turn into a crick elf?" You see the little fungal entity turns into a little crick elf baby and starts crying. And she starts, "Shh, shh, it's okay. If someone were to leave you around the outskirts of the crick, I'm sure somebody like Jolene would take you in as one of your own. Jolene's never misled you on anything or withheld information, has she, Moonshine?" No, she wouldn't do that. "Don't worry about this, Moonshine. The odds of you being one of mine are one in a million. I mean, I only got to leave hell on official business. It's been, 25, 26 years since I got to meander outside of the crick."
"Maribel, it's very obvious what you're dancing around, and I just want to let you know, if you were my mother, if you are my mother, then Jolene is a hell of an even better mother than I thought, because she took on her wicked sister's child. Dang, all this does is make me think higher of Jolene. Nice try, though."
You see, for a second, her cool demeanor changes, and she looks fucking pissed.
"Also, all you're coming at me with is nature versus nurture, and you know I'm all nurture. Hospitality makes the hoe. That's what we say."
She leans into you, Moonshine, and she goes, "You're acting like you're something that you're not. But I know what you are."
And you snap out of it. And you wake up, and Balnor is, like, trying to get in the bag.
I fucking kick him away.
"Oh, sorry.
Does he have to take a shit or read the book?"
"Yeah.
Yeah, Balnor, are you trying to take a shit? Because you're allowed to do that."
"Oh, yeah, I was just looking for the shit bag. Heard we were doing that."
"Okay, well.
I'm going back to sleep. I had a weird dream.
I thought
dream.
You had to take a shit."
I lied. Truthfully, I had some strange dreams."
What'd you dream about, Balnor?"
"I saw her."
"Yeah?"
"And she told me who I was. There's a war. There's a war that's gonna happen. And everybody's gotta fight. Even old men who don't know how to fight. And she said that to me, and I remembered. I remembered that I was drafted, that I have to fight in some war, and it hasn't happened yet."
"Do you want to be back there, Balnor?"
I don't really know where I want to be.
"Okay,
I just
want
to be out of here."
"You want to be out of here? Oh, shit. I don't know how to send you back where you came from." I try to cast Misty Step on him. It doesn't do anything. Sparks
I'm
fly from my hands.
"Just going to try to go back to sleep." And you see Balnor curls up.
"Hey, Balnor, just to be clear, if Bev knew how to send you back, would you want him to send you back? Or if we could call in a big favor with someone, if we met a really smart wizard, you'd want me to ask for you to be sent back?"
"I think wherever I came from is really bad, and this is really bad, and everything's just really bad, and I need to go to bed."
"Did you come from World War I?
Valner goes to sleep.
They had tuna then, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to nudge Cobb out of his trance.
Sure.
Hey, Cobb.
Hey.
Did you ever impregnate Maribel?
No. No, me and Maribel never had any kids. Why do you ask?
Do you know how she gives birth to all these little spore babies?
I think it's part of the curse. I think she spreads her spores and they turn into little monsters.
Gotcha. All right. Get back to trancing.
All right. Night, Moonshine.
Night, Cobb.
Little monsters. Little monsters. Little monsters.
Little monsters.
You go to bed. You wake up. Very foggy morning, believe it or not. A lot of overcast.
Fine. Maribel died of natural causes in her sleep.
Good morning.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
I ring the breakfast bell. So, how did everyone sleep? I'm noticing that Moonshine probably looks a little tired despite trancing.
That's not a polite thing to say, young Pev.
I'm very sorry. I have it cream if you want something for your bags.
Nah, we love aging it
down. I think you look absolutely ravishing. Gang, I'd like you to meet my bird, Hard 2 Stormcrow.
Eats more of your food.
The name came to me in a dream. I patted on its beak.
It keeps eating your food.
I'm feeling excellent this morning. Balnor, how are you?
Yeah, a little tossing and turning, but it gives a 1,000-yard stare.
Good man. How's Cobb?
You know.
Excellent. And Moonshine?
I'm fine.
Woo! Yeah! Hardwine, let's do the breakfast dance.
All right.
Breakfast dance.
Hardwine,
time to get some
block.
Bacon. Breakfast Cut. Dance. Everybody Cut. Shaking. Breakfast Cut. Dance. Cut. Who wants Cut. Some tea and coffee?
I whip my beard back and forth.
You hear from the tree, Luna yells, "Shut the fuck up!"
Luna's still mad at me for killing her fucking idol.
She'll get over it. I did.
All right, let's eat some breakfast and... Yeah. Fuck some shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not looking to pussyfoot any longer. I say we just try to find Maribel. If anything chases us from behind, we take care of them and...
Yeah.
We just go for
Straight
it.
Straight for the jugular.
Yeah.
Double style.
Yeah.
Again.
Are you Absolutely. Sure you're ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I hop into Hardwine's arms and attune myself towards the evil and we're off to the races.
The homing beacon. Let's go.
Sweet. So as you guys start to walk off, you see Green Shade goes, "All right, so you guys heading out, or
you want to come with us, bud?"
Oh, I'm pretty
you
sick.
Always use the health. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a war, so you'd be fighting. So if you don't feel comfortable fighting, that's totally fine.
I think I might like freak out and kill you guys at one point. I'm starting to get real mad.
Sweet.
Okay, we got another Krikrot.
Would I be able to lesser restoration the Krikrot just enough so that he could fight alongside us?
He's super fucked up. Moonshine and Balnor aren't that fucked up.
Okay, so he's maybe a lost cause is the sense I'm getting.
Yes.
Yeah, before we head out, I kind of huddle up with Moonshine and Balnor.
You can just give it to Balnor.
Well, I've got enough for both.
It's a spell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just do it on Balnor. I'll ask you if I need it.
I look into Moonshine's eyes. I kind of stand between me and Balnor and Moonshine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like it, now I'm on the inside, you know? I got the Krikrot. Deeper I go, closer I get to her, you know?
All right. Well, Moonshine, just know you don't have to do it alone. We're here for you. And we'll...
Oh, yeah. I'll be calling on you.
I'll do everything I can.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Heal up Balnor, though. I think he wants to go home.
Oh, yes, I know how to do that.
Oh, you do? Oh, that's so wonderful, Balnor. He knows how to get you home.
I don't want to go home. Home is bad.
Oh, I thought you said you wanted to go
home. I want to get out of this fog.
Okay, well, we can work on that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I see. Oh, I thought you wanted... Okay. Well...
Okay, yeah, I do cast Lesser Restoration on Balnor.
Great. You see he's begun to develop these little black scabs on like his neck. You see you cast Lesser Restoration, and you see they shrink a bit.
Oh, cool.
And he goes, I feel less of an overwhelming sense of dread. I still hate my life, but more of like a clinical depression now, guys.
Nice. I think you look good as new, Balnor.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, the scabs are fun.
Give you character.
Yeah. I would love to go back to bed, but...
No, we need you, Snake Killer. Let's go.
All right.
I give him some Claritin for the scabs.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot, son. You see Luna gets down from Green Shade, and she walks over to you guys. She's full yellow eyes, not in wolf mode, though. And she goes, I'll help you kill this fucking devil, but then I'm going to kill you.
That's fine with me.
One battle at a time.
Wait, yeah. Are you using the singular or plural you?
She pushes you, Beverly. And then she pushes Ardolin.
Push me. Right. Push me, too.
She also pushes Moonshine.
Okay.
I give Moonshine a wink.
I get like a little jolt of pleasure, but then I remember that mean thought it made me think last night. And and then I look at her and I'm like, no thanks.
Ardolin's just smiling, knowing nothing.
Cool. So as you guys follow Bev's sense evil, you feel a strong pull from the southwest. Now, I explained in the past, but the way that the creek is set up is that there is a river from the north that splits into various streams as they run south. It's almost shaped like a fork, and the city is built between these creeks, these streams. But the westernmost stream is actually a continuation of the river. So unlike the rest of the streams, this one is wider, and it moves fast. And Moonshine, you quickly realize that you guys are heading in that direction. And once you guys get there, you see that the trees here not only look dead, they're frail and skinny, as if something sucked everything out of the inside. It looks like you could just push them over. And you can see in the distance, down the river, are two giant black and gray mushrooms that are molding together into one bulbous structure. They're so big, they look like stadium domes.
Hey, cut it out!
The only reason that you can see them is because all the trees here are so skinny that you have direct line of sight. But you do see that all through the forest are thousands of black, gray, and blue mushrooms spread all throughout the forest. The only place there aren't any is in the river itself, but the water there is black and fast moving. You do see, however, a crude raft, basically just a bunch of logs tied together, pulled up on the riverside with a skeleton like under it.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile. It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore, and you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
That raft looks safe.
Seems normal and safe.
Okay, what if we buffeted so I can just breathe underwater? You could essentially just harness me up. I wouldn't even need wild shape. We'll make like a little Santa sleigh of that raft.
Are you
gonna like water ski essentially? But just get pulled.
But before you, I'm gonna pull it.
It's like if the water skier was pulling the boat.
It's a river. The water is moving fast.
Okay, then what if I become a reef shark?
I'm not opposed to that.
Can you wild shape into a better boat?
I try to wild shape into a better boat.
You become a decent raft, but not as good as this one.
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay, I run towards the beach, Baywatch style, and as I jump in, I transform into a reef shark.
Hell yeah.
Whoa.
I look around to see if Luna noticed.
You see, for one split second, she looks super pumped. She goes, "Ow, ow!" And then she stops her howl, and she goes, "Fuck her."
Okay. Wow.
Pretty cool, though, right?
And then I swim up.
No, fuck you, too.
Oh.
I swim up to the side and, like, wiggle my butt like I'm excited to, like a happy dog who's ready to be of service.
I pet you, but the wrong way, so my hand bleeds.
All right, everybody on the raft.
Okay.
I'm going to inspect the raft and make sure that it looks sturdy. I've got some ropes
that we need
to tie it up.
Oh, yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that before I became a reef shark. Watch, it's like a trap that just flings you across the creek, and I didn't even...
Moonshine, the river is going pretty fast, so are you, like, just swimming against the current?
Yeah, I'm just swimming against the current.
Cool. So you guys just see the shark bobbing up and down in the river.
No, just pop into an eddy. Find a nice big rock, pop into an eddy. Listen, I know the whitewater terminology. Beverly's been kayaking before.
So, Hard One, you inspect the raft.
Yeah.
Looks like about as good of a raft as you're going to find in the goddamn fog swamp.
Is it a raft trap?
Can I fortify it a little bit with some more of my ropes?
Yeah, I'll use Nature's Wrath to create some spectral vines that hold the raft together.
Cool. So as I'm tying a really cool knot with a rope, you just trump me.
I call it Nature's Raft, huh? Right?
Nice.
That's good. Keeping it light.
Trying to keep it light for you, bud.
I hate my life.
I give Cobb a pat on. Well, I try to reach his back, but I'm short, so I probably just pat his butt on accident.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we focus on the raft?
Okay, focus up.
Has to.
guys.
Those little back dimples.
Oh, definitely.
You can tell he got them from working out somehow.
You guys secure this raft, and it is looking escape from Alcatraz good now.
Hell yeah. All right.
Vines all over it, holding all the logs together.
Let's do the opposite of escape.
Vine and rope to Moonshine.
Yeah.
When I'm a reef shark, do I have Moonshine's memories? Like, do I remember what happened last night?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Real quick,
why do you want to be a carefree shark?
I was hoping that maybe I could escape for the moment. Okay.
If you're a carefree shark, you're probably just trying to eat us, though. It's the problem.
So then I guess I'm like a little depressed, and like sometimes I forget what I'm doing, and the current drags me along, and then I have to swim back up.
Moonshine.
So I stop bobbing.
Get with it, Moonshine.
Sorry.
All right, so I'm going to toss Moonshine a rope and a vine.
Grab all my teeth.
All right.
Everybody on the raft, let's go.
So you guys push the raft out into the water. Careful not to let it drift off because the river is going pretty fast. You guys see downriver is this domed lair. Very clearly, Bev, you're getting signs that this is the ultimate evil.
The Shrooma Dome.
And you guys take off down the river with Moonshine leading the way. Everybody roll initiative.
Woo! Okay.
14 for Hard One.
10 for the reef shark.
I got a 4.
So Luna goes first. You see she sniffs the air, turns into a werewolf. She's going to go ahead and roll a perception check.
Ooh.
And she succeeds and she goes, "Everybody watch the fuck out! There's some guys in the mushrooms over here!" And she ducks down. As you guys see on next initiative, on initiative 15, these little mushroom guys pop up and they have like little claws and they shoot out these little blades like darts.
Oh, whoa.
Go ahead and everybody give me a dexterity saving throw.
Even the reef shark though?
I'm in the water. Not the reef shark.
Yeah. Don't forget to add your the plus four to it.
25.
Ooh, that's a natural 20.
Dope.
Hell yeah.
How good I dodge.
You jump and you tackle Balnor, and you guys all get low as these darts fly over the raft. Moonshine, you're just fine. You don't even know that anything's wrong. You're just going between rocks and stuff.
I'm singing a shark song.
Shark song,
what
huh?
does that sound like?
Shark, 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 shark,
shark. It is catchy.
Is that the Frasier song?
Shark, 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 shark.
That's Hard One's turn. So you guys are going, so you see that you're kind of going past these guys because you are going down river and these guys just kind of popped out and shot something at you.
Got it. So I guess I'm going to hold a reaction.
Dope. And that is Moonshine's turn as the shark.
We probably need me to keep sharking, right? Or yeah, am I even sharking. Adding anything to this?
Well, if something happens in the water and we need you to pull us a certain way.
Okay.
I think it is good.
If anything from the sea, I'm like preparing a reaction. If anything from the sea tries to like fuck with me, I'm gonna bite it.
Yeah. Your action choices are be a shark, continue to be a shark.
Yeah.
Why would you ever choose? Why would you ever choose not being
exactly?
A shark?
Yeah.
So you guys continue down this river, and as you're going, you see three of these black mushroom dudes with hook hands jump onto the raft.
Oh.
Hard One. You can use your reaction.
Great. I'm gonna fucking swing my axe at them. Little shits. Not as cute as Schubert. 22.
22 hits.
14 damage to that.
Still looking okay.
Oh, they're tough little shits.
Fuck you, little shroomy. 19.
19 hits.
17 damage.
17 damage? Jesus. Still alive, actually. But super hurts. Cobb is going to take two shots at it real quick.
Ah, where the fuck did they come from?
Keep it together, Cobb.
Old Cobb blows this one's head off, and you see it fall off into the river.
Nice. It's like a video game.
Yeah. Now these guys are going to attack. One of these guys is going to go after Bev and rolls a two. Shout out to the two crew. Missed on his first one. Hits with his second one for only 6 damage.
Okay.
And then he's going to spores you. So go ahead and make a constitution saving throw.
Uh-oh. Ooh, that's a raw 19. And
okay,
then
you're all good.
Yeah, okay, cool.
You shake it off.
Great.
Last guy, we'll go after Cobb. Hits on his first one, misses on his second one. I'll do the damage for the first one. 10 damage to Cobb.
Oh, no.
And then he's going to spores Cobb. Cobb fails his throw. No. You see Cobb starts choking. What the fuck was that?
Everything's fine, Cobb. I pat him on the back real hard.
He throws up some black gunk.
Oh, what was that?
Choke on
you guys think I'm coming down with something?
No, I think it was just weird breakfast. I threw up a little bit too. It was weird breakfast.
It was a weird breakfast, right?
Weird breakfast.
I think it might have been the weird breakfast.
Blackberry jam.
I look at Bev and I mouth crick rot.
Beverly's turn.
Okay. How many remain on the raft?
2.
I'm just going to try and... It seems easier just to push him off. I'm just going to, like, shield bump him off the raft.
Go ahead. Do an opposed strength check.
Against a mushroom.
Yeah.
These guys are...
that's a 20.
Oh, no. He rolled a nat 20.
Oh, no!
Bev, you go to push him off the raft.
He pushed me, though, do he?
Yeah. He moves out of the way. He, like, riposts and... pushes you off the raft. Go ahead and give me a dexterity saving throw. I'll say you got a 20, so you still did pretty good. But you're like about to fall off. You're losing your balance.
11.
11. You guys see Bev fall into the water.
No.
Hey, I have a reaction prepared. So
you do.
So I'm going to go in and instead of biting him, I'm not going to chomp him. I'm
going to
gently get him with my teeth and throw him back up on the raft.
I'm going to say you go over and you kind of like bite him. What is that suntan lotion where it's like pulling
copper
at the
tone?
Yeah.
It's copper tone Beverly pulling at Bev's pants.
Yeah.
I definitely forget that Moonshine is a shark for a brief moment.
Yeah, Bev. You just fall into the water. You feel like you're about to get eaten by the shark.
Toss him back onto the...
Go ahead and make an athletics check to see if you can do that.
With advantage because it's sick?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
20.
Okay. Bev goes to ram this mushroom dude off. The mushroom moves out of the way and just pushes him. Bev yells, falls in. Shark swims over, grabs him by the butt, throws him back on.
Do I still get to do my second attack?
You don't get to do your second attack. You've had a hell of a turn.
An adventure.
You've had a good
hell
day.
Of an adventure. Balnor runs forward.
They know judo!
He takes a swing, and he does hit. He hits one of them for 8 damage.
Way to go, Balnor.
Hey, thanks. That is Luna's turn. Luna is going to try to tear into one of these dudes. She swings with her greatsword and with her bite, and she hits with both. 19 damage to the one that Balnor just hurt.
Oh, hell yeah. Is that one dead?
Yeah, fuck that. It's still alive. Shit, I should have pushed it off. I just get so mad when I'm a wolf.
Careful about pushing them off. They're very good.
Right. Shit. Okay.
They're very good at using your center of gravity against you.
Cool. Everyone go ahead and give me a perception check. Not you, Moonshine, though. You're down in the water.
Okay. Can I? I'm going to do one, though. I get kind of lonely down here, so.
17 for me.
I got a 20.
Ooh. 15 for me.
Okay. You guys see spanning across the river like a fucked up volleyball net is this giant spider web hanging between like the mushrooms, and it's hanging low enough that it will catch you guys and you guys can't really get under it. And you see on it are 3 gargantuan spiders, very big spiders. I won't say gargantuan, big spiders,
big spiders.
I talked to Big Game. They're big spiders. And they've got mushrooms splitting through their skulls. So you guys see that on initiative 15, and that is Hard One's turn.
Will you allow me to drop kick one of the mushrooms into the volleyball net?
It's like far enough ahead, so this is, you guys are a few seconds away from hitting it. Like, you'll hit it next turn.
All right. Fine. Then I'm going to tap Moonshine's fin. Tap. And I'm just going to sort of do the 2 fingers on my eyes. And then 2 fingers at the...
Sharks have very good eyesight.
Yeah, and the 2 fingers I'm using are my thumb and my pinky.
Okay, so it's just like kind of hang loose.
Hang loose.
Hey, keep it light.
Moonshine, hang loose up ahead.
Okay, I prepare myself to do a dolphin leap to try to...
to like grab a spider into the water?
No, if I can, but also just to break the net so that the raft can go through.
You want to like jump through it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then I'm going to try to kill the mushroom.
Okay.
27.
27. That hits, believe it or not.
Yeah. And 12 damage on that guy.
12 damage. He's still alive.
Really? Fuck him. All right. I'm going to try to hit him one more time.
Cool.
27 again.
You hit.
9 damage.
9 damage. He is dead. Finish him.
Yes. I grab him by the stem and I hold him up and I say... Hard to feast. And Hard to pecks him to death.
I was hoping that you were gonna, because he said finish him, I was hoping you were gonna just like split his head over my fin, like
juicing it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll do that.
Okay.
I juice the shroom.
You juice the shroom. That is the shark's turn.
Okay, so the shark...
You still got a bit before you get to this
web. So I'll just prepare a reaction, but since I'm going to be kind of like jumping into the air and attacking this this net to try to make a way, I have pack tactics, which if I'm within 5 feet of an ally, then I get advantage. So can I get advantage on that roll?
Because my like pack a strength tactics? Check? Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Lady Shark,
Emily's smile is so proud. Just beaming.
This other mushroom guy is still here. He's gonna go after Bev. He swings twice and he misses. He's gonna shoot his spores at you.
No thanks. 13?
13 does not save.
Uh-oh.
You feel a shortness of breath as you inhale these.
I use my inhaler
spores.
Real quick.
Feels real bad.
Oh, no.
Feels real bad. So Olcob runs to the front of the raft, and he's going to take some shots at the web. And he's going to hit, because it's a goddamn web. He's going to do some damage to it. 20 damage to the web.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
You see, it breaks up a little bit, but it's still thick AF.
What you putting in that gun,
it
buddy?
It is very thick. Uh-huh. Beverly, that is your turn.
All right. I want to prepare a reaction as well.
Okay.
And I'm going to say this to the group, and you can agree or disagree. Moonshine, what I want to do...
If you want to ride Moonshine as a shark...
Yes. I want to ride Moonshine like a shark and use Searing Smite to burn the web.
Yeah, that's cool. Me.
Okay.
This is
hop on. I make
so
a little
ridiculous, but also really sick.
Yeah.
I just want to say that, of course, I prepared for this moment, and I've already crocheted a saddle for every single animal I could wild shape into. So just reach for the crocheted shark saddle.
I reach
It'll
for
be
it.
In the bag next to the evil book.
Okay. I accidentally touch the evil book and am instantly under its sway. Yeah, I grab that saddle.
Cool. So you hop up onto Moonshine.
Yeah.
All right. You saddle up on Moonshine.
I light my sword.
And that is Balnor's turn. Balnor just runs forward and chucks a javelin at the web. He crits.
Really?
What? He crits on the web. He rolled a 19. So he does. Yeah, you see the javelin like gets pretty deep into that web there, but gets stuck.
Balnor's really Balnor. Growing.
Yeah. He does 19 damage to the web.
We're
yeah.
preparing him for his war.
Yeah. Although I don't think he wants to go back to it. I thought he was telling me that he felt like he needed to go back, but then when we talked about it in front of Beverly, he felt he was like, no, yeah. I don't want to go
you,
back.
Wait, did you fill us in on that, by the way?
About Balnor?
Yeah.
I filled you in on it, I think.
Not totally. We don't know that the war hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do a catch-up.
Yeah,
for sure.
There's a lot of things to talk about.
Uh-huh.
So that is back around to Luna. You guys are getting kind of close to this web, but she doesn't really have any range stuff. But she is pretty strong, so she's going to try to end this black cat mushroom guy by just kicking him off. Or shoulder ramming him off. She's more nice. Of a shoulder ram
type. Oh, for sure.
And she rolls a goddamn nat 20.
Nice.
So yes! You see Luna just...
Oh, fuck you, dude!
You see him fly off into the river.
Woo, 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 shish kebab.
Don't howl, that's my thing.
It's our thing.
It is kind of our thing, but I'm pissed at you, dude.
I know, but just dab me up for the day.
Fucking
we'll talk later, dude. Chest bump. Come on, let's go.
Fine, little chest bump. Little chest bump. Little chest bump.
Don't
chest
deny him you. A dab in the moment.
Pushes him. Get off me. Get off me.
Yeah.
Woof, woof.
Okay, that is the lair action, which means you guys are at the web. Go ahead and
there
do your
go.
Insane plan.
All right.
Okay, I leap up into the air with advantage.
Beautiful.
Because I got pack tactics, bitch.
I'm your pack.
You rolled a nat 20 to jump into the fucking web.
By the way, her first roll was a 3.
My first roll was a 3, but then my pack tactics got me that second roll.
God damn it. Guys, just explain what happens.
All right, hell yeah.
Just tell me how
okay,
it happens.
So I think that what happens is I actually soar over the net because I soar so
No,
high.
No. You can't defy that. This is already insane.
And then I swim back around and do a redo.
Okay.
I kind of like, in the moment before we hit it, I pinpoint the exact fissures of the web that I'll need to hit, and I slice them all with my flaming blade.
Perfect. You hit. Yeah, you see Balnor's javelin got pretty deep in there, so you see that's kind of the weak spot of the web.
Mm-hmm.
Moonshine, the goddamn reef shark, leaps up perfectly with Beverly goddamn riding her.
Hell yeah.
Holding onto her fin, turns his sword alight, slashes through the web with radiant damage. You see the web splits at the bottom, and you see one spider fucking falls into the water as you guys begin to head under this web unimpeded. That is your turn, hard one. You
but
do see that there are...
You forgot about the part where I jumped over the net
right.
and then swam back and did a redo.
Yes. Yeah. All of that happened after Moonshine just went back for fun and did a redo.
I whisper to Moonshine, thank you, Moonshine. And I give her two kisses.
Great redo.
Thank you.
So
my
hard one.
Pucker.
That is your turn. You are at the web now. You see that one of the spiders fell into the water when Beverly slashed through it, but you see two more are like crawling down to the raft. They look like they might try to jump on. Tell me what you're doing.
Well, first I'm going to turn to Luna and say, and you would rather be part of the Chosen?
That was, I have to admit, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah. And now I'm going to keep my hands on my axe, get ready to bat away a spider like a...
Do you want to like swing at him or do you want to knock him off?
I guess I'd rather knock him off the boat if he comes onto the boat.
All right. So Hard One prepares a reaction to like try to bat a spider off as they terrifyingly try to leap down. That is actually Moonshine's turn next as the
shark. Can I prepare a reaction?
What else do you want to do? God damn it!
I want to buck Beverly into the air so that he can get like advantage on some so you wanna, he can like calm down with advantage.
So like the next thing you guys see, you want to like assist Beverly.
Yeah,
I will allow that.
Do I like diving board off your tail?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna flap my tail as, and he uses it like a diving board to get like to
sick
assist.
Air.
Cool. Mechanically, any rule sticklers out there, just know that she is using the assist. Which is an action that you can do. She's assisting Beverly, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That is the spider's turn. Hard One, go ahead and do a strength check against this other one. An opposed strength check. This one is fucking terrifying. These spiders jump down from the web.
I was waiting for this. Oh, no.
He got an 8 total.
I got a 9.
It looks so stupid. You see this spider jumps down, like you go to swing, the timing's all off. One of its legs knocks your arm back, but you roll over and kick it off.
Almost like it was gonna miss the boat anyway.
Yeah. He's like about to land right in the river and you just push him over the edge.
Did you? Yeah. It's like catching a football and then jumping afterwards. Yeah.
Woo! But you see this other one jumps down and it is going to attack Cobb. Why not?
Why so?
And it super hits. It hits him for... So he does 6 piercing damage and then he's going to do a lot of poison damage. Woo! And then another 26 damage to Cobb.
Oh my
God. Cobb takes 32 damage.
How's Cobb looking?
Cobb is pretty hurt, but he's not on death's door or anything. But yeah, you see this one spider comes down and
it's only
like,
one spider, right?
It's only one spider now because the other one missed its jump essentially. But this one jumps basically pins Cobb down and takes a bite at him with his pincer. And old Cobb is just screaming, "I don't have Krikra! Why do people think I have Krikra? This is fine! All this poison is fine!
It's good, man.
I'm fine, dude.
The vicious beat is it's coming fine. In strong.
Does anyone else see this as Maribel?
Points
at the spider.
Oh no.
Does anyone want to kiss the spider?
All right. Sit back, Cobb.
All right.
Shoot it with your gun.
So you see Cobb is like wrestling with the spider, pulls out its gun. It's going to try to shoot him. And he hits twice. Good job, Cobby.
Good job, Cobb.
Good Cobb.
He does 21 damage to this bad boy.
Nice.
Still looking pretty healthy, though.
An eye for an eye for an eye for an eye for an eye.
It's a dang beefy spider. Balnor runs forward, and he swings, and he rolls a 2. Shout out to the 2 crew.
2 crew.
He is scared of spiders.
Balnor's back.
Ah.
Balnor's back, and we're gonna be in trouble.
Hey now.
My Balnor's back.
Bev, it is your turn. You are on the shark. In front, if you want to hit the spider or something, you'd have to throw a javelin.
I thought that Moonshine was going to flip me into the air.
Yeah.
You're going to...
I'm
how
using
would that
my
help
assist.
This? Okay, so you're going to assist him to throw him back onto the raft?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to diving board me with her tail. I don't understand what's so hard to understand about this.
Okay. Okay, go ahead and roll an attack with advantage, I guess, goddammit.
15 plus 8, 23.
Yes, that hits.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. I slice down into its thorax.
You slice down into its thorax. Go ahead and do your damage.
This is my first damage, I think. Congrats.
Thank you. Ever?
Ever. I've never done damage in the game before. It's weird that you didn't notice until now. All right, that's 14 damage on my first attack.
Sweet.
How much goop is coming out of the thorax?
Decent amount of goop.
Okay.
A lot of black gunk. Looks bad.
Ew.
Definitely don't eat it.
All right. I think about it for a moment. and then I slice down again. I'm trying to sever the thorax.
Okay. Right on.
To make it really kind of like wobble and top, I guess bottom heavy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say 18.
18 hits.
Okay, great. And that's 9 more damage.
9 more damage.
Yeah. How's that thorax looking?
Thorax is looking pretty bad, but he's still alive.
All right. I was trying to sever it, trying to hack that rax, but couldn't quite get it.
Luna takes 2 swings. She bites, and she swings her greatsword, and she's going to hit. Biting all these things that have Krikrot, probably not the best idea. No, I'm going to have her roll to see.
But dogs' mouths have way more bacteria in them.
Good call. Ooh, she can roll with advantage.
Yeah.
Good call.
She's a wolf, so tread lightly.
Yeah. She's a puppy dog, and she's my friend.
So she does 15 damage to this dude, who's still looking okay, but a little hurt, and she's going to do a roll with advantage to not get Krikrot.
Give a shit. Give me your stupid disease, fucker.
She passes. Nice. She rolls with advantage.
I try to get the nickname Puppy Mommy going.
Okay, everyone go ahead and give me a perception check.
No. I'm not very perceptive. That was a 7.
I got a 13.
15.
15. Okay, Beverly, you see up ahead as you're riding Moonshine the Reef Shark, you see that there are like rapids ahead. Like things are about to get bumpy.
Uh-oh. Things are going to get choppy. Everybody look sharp.
Hold on.
So that was on 15. That is Hard One's turn. Beverly just yelled that it's getting choppy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I'm going to still try to kill the spider, but I'm thinking about how we could buckle ourselves in with vines.
You can essentially use an action to brace, or you can fight the spider.
Specifically, I say don't get sloppy. Things are getting choppy.
You'll still get to do a dex save no matter what, but it'll be easy. You'll get to roll with advantage if you brace.
Got it. I'm going to swing on the spider.
Cool.
Natural 1.
Oh!
Yeah. But with my modifier, it's a 10.
Damn.
You miss.
Cool.
You super miss.
I'll swing again.
Go ahead.
That time, it's a 21.
That hits.
12 damage.
12 damage. You do, when you hear that it's about to get choppy up ahead with that nat 1, you let out a little yelp.
And Luna goes, what, dude? Are you scared of all the things?
No.
Choppy water?
That was a fart. I swear to God, it was a really high-pitched toot.
It actually smells terrible. I smell it with my dog nose.
Might be your fucking boyfriend's head.
What'd you say, dude?
Nothing.
All right, back around to the spider. The spider is going to try to bite Hard One and rolls a 2. Shout out to the 2 crew.
Yes.
Misses big time.
Thank you, 2 crew.
That is Old Cobb's turn. Old Cobb shoots this dude, and he hits super hard. He rolls a 19.
Nice. That's a Balnor crit.
Old Cobb blows the spider's head off Resident Evil 2 style.
That's a...
You see, explodes.
That's a Mountain Dew Balnor blast right there.
And then that is back around to Bev's turn.
Basically, what I want to do is try and, like, seatbelt everybody into the vines.
You definitely can't seatbelt everyone. I'll let you, like, grab on, and you can, like, grab one other person if you want to give them advantage.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. I grab myself, and I grab... who's having the worst day?
Old Cobb's pretty hurt.
Yeah, I'll grab Old Cobb. And you know what? Can I touch hands Old Cobb while I'm grabbing him and securing the ref?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll say that you're doing it all in one motion. It's one of your like natural abilities, so yeah. I'll allow you to do that.
It looks good.
How much you want to hear?
I give him
for?
10.
Sweet. Okay. He pops back up. He's looking a little bit better.
Hey, thanks, man, but I don't have Krikrot. Just to make that clear. I don't know if you were trying to heal my Krikrot that I don't have. Because I don't have it.
I cough on him.
Yeah, oh. Wait, do you have Krikrot?
No, nobody has Krikrot.
No one has Krikrot.
Yeah, everyone's great.
We all agree that no one has Krikrot. That is Balnor's turn. Balnor runs up and grabs your waist prom style and is hanging on. On Luna's turn, she goes, fuck, dude. God damn it. You see she grabs Hard One and grabs onto the spectral vine. So everybody is braced right now.
Yes,
and
Luna.
I guess... What is like a rapid look like inside the water?
Oh.
Just like rocks?
A rock.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
just...
you'd have to dodge a rock.
Okay.
I think.
So Moonshine, you'll do a dex saving throw as well.
Okay.
How's the spray though? Is it fucking sick?
Oh dude, it's sick.
Oh, Moonshine
nice. Could bump her noggin.
Wait, what are we rolling?
You're rolling a dex saving throw with advantage because okay. everybody's hanging
oh,
on.
Look at that.
All the NPCs hang on.
I got a 19.
19. Moonshine, you dart through. Expert shark.
All right, that's 13 plus 4, 17.
Cool, you're good?
Right. 21.
21. Moonshine the shark expertly weaves through all of the rocks. The raft bangs up against these rapids. You see that it's fucking up the raft a little bit, but everybody hangs on. Nobody falls off. You see, as soon as you get past this little run of rapids, Luna pushes you off of her. Save yourself next time, bro.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
How many cartoon foxes do we see?
So many. You guys are now on Splash Mountain officially.
Oh, yeah.
The crick is Splash Mountain.
Are we wet? Was that fun?
Yeah, how wet did we get?
Oh, I passed out ponchos.
Okay,
you
stole those from me. So as you guys are continuing down this river, you see that you're suddenly coming to a waterfall. There are blue mushrooms all along the rocks just before the falls, and on both sides of you, you see dozens of these black mushroom guys with their sickle fists out, like getting ready to jump.
I throw a javelin at the blue mushrooms.
Go ahead and make an attack roll.
Okay.
Wait, at the blue mushrooms?
Yeah.
Okay. I trust you, Bev.
That's a 17.
17. 17 yeah. Hits. Beverly throws a javelin at one of the blue mushrooms. You see, as soon as it hits, the waterfall disappears for a second, and it looks like a regular river, and then it goes back to being a waterfall.
Ah.
Okay.
Guys, so it's not real.
The mushrooms are a waterfall switch.
Oh. There is no waterfall.
That makes more sense.
That makes a lot more sense, man.
No, I think Bev's onto something with this waterfall.
Throw all of our weapons at the waterfall switch!
Balnor just starts throwing things out of the bag.
We're gonna fall! We're
Balnor,
going over!
Give it tuna
we're
quickly.
Going over!
And starts throwing sandwiches out.
Bev starts clapping.
Clap on!
I cast every third and fourth level spell on the waterfall switches. Well, we're going all in on the waterfall switch.
The raft continues. You guys pass right through the waterfall. And yes, it was just an illusion.
Good for you, Bev, going for that nice. Blue one.
I've been trying to do something with those blue mushrooms for the past 3 episodes, I feel like.
That's a good call.
As you guys continue down the river, the raft begins to slow down as the water fills up with thicker and thicker muck until finally you guys stop completely and you guys are just in the mud.
How close
are we? I refuse to admit it, and I'm just trying so hard to swim.
Your tail is just sort of like ripping back and
don't
forth.
Breathe.
Like you're
do
diving
not breathe
into
that.
Pudding.
Yeah, a shark just flopping in the mud. And you guys see these big balloon-shaped gray mushrooms with holes in them, with holes in the caps. The one that Beverly jumped onto and exploded.
Oh, yeah.
You see that they're everywhere. You see that there's big fields.
Hey, friends, don't jump on those.
And you see the near distance, you see in the near distance is this giant fungal lair. You see the big bulbous mushrooms. And you see this river that is now dried up and is all mud and muck. Leads like right into an entrance.
I think that's maybe where Maribel is.
I turn back into moonshine and I'm like, let's do it.
All right. Into the muck.
Before we go, I feel inclined to tell y'all, Maribel visited me in my trance last night.
Oh.
I don't know if it was an influence of the rot. I don't know if it was influence of a stressed out mind. She made strong implications that she's my real mother. I don't know if that's going to come up. I don't know if she's going to try to use that.
Hey, we all have parental issues.
See, I thought I was special because I didn't have any. I looked at y'all with all your parental issues and thought,
as long as one person in the group doesn't know who their true parents are, I think we're stronger for it.
The thing about parents is you're always going to have issues with them. Sometimes they're a little more extreme than other cases, but you got to work through them.
Yeah, I know. I'm letting it simmer.
Yeah.
She put a tea bag in this hot water, and I'm trying to figure out what
you know
to
what?
Make
That's
of
why
it.
You got to put a little milk in it. Sometimes you just got to put a little milk in the tea.
I don't know.
We'll be your milk.
Okay, be my milk, please, Beth.
Words to live by. I turn to Luna. Isn't that right, Luna? We'll be your milk.
Yeah, Luna, I'll be your milk. Also, I just want to come clean. Again, I don't know if it was the crick rot, but I had dark feelings about both of y'all, and I feel very guilty about that. I felt jealous of you in competition sexually. I felt worried that you and these were dark thoughts that I have never thought myself, and they arose in my head, and it may be the crick rot, so I am compromised. I'm just putting it out there that I'm compromised.
It's okay. I can be a real dummy sometimes. I know.
No, but
yeah, and I'm a formidable foe when it comes to winning affection.
Hard one. Please stop taking this as a compliment.
I apologize.
I'm just saying
no
that.
No matter what you think of us, we'll always be your milk.
I guess why I brought that up was because it was such a ridiculous thought that I was saying, oh, I'm not thinking right.
Mm. Respect. Respect.
Guys, I have a confession.
Oh, boy.
Did you see Maribel last night?
I have Crick Rot. I got it on the raft. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I played it pretty cool. But
yeah. I guess I fake. Oh, my God.
Thanks.
Come.
I know.
I would have never known you held it together.
What's the final count on Crick Rot here?
Hey, I guess everyone raise your hand if you got the rot. I got the rot.
I cough into my hand and raise a black oozy hand.
Wow.
Balnor has it. Yeah. Balnor raises his hand.
Hard
it's just Luna and Hardwon.
All right.
All right.
Wow. Well, when we're all dead, I guess you can restart the party.
Very good. That's cob level humor. Well, let's not joke about that.
I flash you the L.
I do it.
So old Cobb looks at you guys and he goes,
should we call upon the power of the elements or?
After you. You've done this before.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
I suppose it's now or never.
Yeah.
I mean, all right.
You see, he takes off all of his clothes, Crick Elf style.
All right.
I'm completely unmoved. It's so normal to me.
I drop my pants. This again.
V's upon V's.
Seeing them naked, I suddenly feel awkward in my clothes and take off my clothes too.
I put on all their clothes.
Old Cobb lifts his hands up and he goes,
the champion of the air, summon the great elemental titan to grant me her power.
And suddenly you see the air around him whip up and take the shape of the air elemental titan with her elvish armor. And she whispers on the wind, is this truly your time of need? I will grant you my powers only once. And old Cobb kind of gestures around to all of the terribleness and death around you. He goes,
oh yeah, I would say everything's pretty fucking bad.
She goes, all right, all right. And you see the air elemental titan flies through Cobb, and Cobb becomes transparent and begins floating.
Whoa.
Hey.
Yeah.
Cobb looking good.
Ooh, it feels good.
I can't see the vicious V anymore, Cobb.
Ew, you can, whoa, no.
Yeah, there it
is. He's looking for it. It's very hard to catch on the wind.
Reflection, that's where you see it a little bit.
All right, I'll go next. So Beverly steps forward. He puts his hands together in kind of a circle, and he holds them up to where the sun is in the sky to kind of form like a magnifying glass.
Yeah, you see a beam of light shoots down from the sun through your hand and creates a little ember that Ooh. Then erupts into a flame, forming the Fire Titan, a.k.a. Fire Daddy.
Fire Daddy!
How are you, my son?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. You have a new sister. Her name is Jamie.
Aww.
And you see he raises a steamy water elemental out of the nearby river.
Congratulations, man.
I'll teach her how to braid her hair or whatever fire elementals pass for hair.
And I won't kill this one.
Appreciate it.
Fire Daddy, I'm very proud of you and happy for you. But now is our moment of need. And I need you to fill me with the flames of justice and vengeance so that I may avenge my friend.
Fire Daddy nods. Then he turns into a fireball, shoots directly at you, and sets you alight.
Woo!
Your skin burns Ooh. Off, and it takes on a reddish hue. Beverly looks like a little fire goblin now.
Not an improvement.
Oobly goobly.
It looks like it hurts, but you're having fun. That's all that matters.
It definitely does hurt a little bit.
Bev, your strength modifier goes up to +6.
Shit.
You're immune to poison. You have advantage on strength checks, and you get +1d6 fire damage on attacks.
Okay, well, fuck it. Hard one's going to step forward. Earth Elemental, I am your fucking champion. Remember that? I call upon you to make me awesome.
You see some awesome. Of the muck around you hardens and turns to stone.
I fall back onto it and try to do a muck angel.
A muck angel?
You get caught like a trust fall.
by the rock elemental guy who appears behind
you.
You
and I are doing Trustfall again.
Yeah.
Trustfall part 3.
I will always catch you, my friend, my champion. It is I, the Sultan of Stone. You have called me.
Ah, yes, brother.
Are you making your voice deeper?
No. It's always like this.
Right, well, do you need my powers? Is this your time of need, my champion?
Yo, I never need any new powers, but this is my time of want.
Yeah,
give me that shit.
Yeah.
Semantics, I guess.
You see, he grabs you by the shoulders and gives you a bro headbutt.
Knocking noggins.
His head explodes, the rocks explode and join your skin, turning you into a stone golem with a beard.
Fuck, yeah.
Hard one. Your con modifier goes up to +6. You're Ooh. Immune to poison, and you have advantage on con saves, and you get +2 to AC.
Wow.
Woo. I step forward, and I whip out the trident that that my water mommy gave me, and I have, like, a repressed tear in my eye from just sharing that painful story with y'all. Mm. And I take the trident, and with it, I, like, graze, just get like a little bit of a tear from my cheek.
You cry summon her.
Yeah, I cry.
Crumming.
And then I say, Water Mommy, your daughter needs you.
You see your tear swirls and takes shape.
If I
forms.
Even am your daughter, I don't even know whose daughter I am anymore.
Oh, Moonshine.
The tear takes shape and forms the Water Titan. And she looks at you and goes, Ah, yes, my champion. A.K.A. my daughter. You slept in a clam and kissed me on the mouth.
Wielding your beloved trident, which you bequeathed me.
What the hell did you guys do?
She swam down and she kissed me on the mouth.
So she went down.
Yep, she went
down on you.
Oh. No.
Mom, make a scrapbook already. Yo, what?
You want my powers? Is that what you want? Did you want my powers?
Yes. Yes.
You see she...
I could also use your maternal lineage because I'm real confused about that these days, but whatever you can give me.
She just dives down your mouth so that you'll stop talking.
Oh.
And your body joins the water. Your skin turns blue and you have the outer appearance of a sea elf with very extreme features.
Oh,
wait,
shit.
If Moonshine and I high five, would there just be like vapor?
Oh, let's try it. We try it. I high five Beverly.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, it sizzles.
Oh,
yeah.
So, Moonshine, your whiz modifier goes up to +6. You're immune to poison, and your spores become seeds. So they're going to burst and do, like, force damage. You essentially, like, shoot them, and then little vines come out and do, like, vine damage. And you can add 1d6 to every cure spell you do.
Whoa.
Ooh. Woo.
I nudge Luna.
Huh? Huh?
Luna's like,
I call upon the power of being a fucking wolf.
Nice.
She turns
good.
Into a real wolf.
What?
Whoa. Just a straight up wolf.
Wait, you can do that?
I'm sorry, did you not see me as a fucking shark?
Whatever, fuck you. Turns back into a werewolf.
I was not trying to ride you. Don't even worry about it.
And as you guys are filled with all of this elemental power, you guys feel the benefits of a long rest.
I love waking up hot.
Oh, that's great.
Oh.
I'm glad I saved all of my luck points on the water.
I mean, I saved all my spells because I thought we were going to fight Maribel.
Yeah,
me too. But now I got an extra wild shape back.
It's almost like you knew he would save our spells to make the fight harder.
All right, y'all. I mean, I say even though we look badass and we're very attention-getting, I still say we try it stealth in.
All right.
Because we could find... I don't know what she does with her days, but if we could find her just pacing her quarters, like planning some sort of... evil doing.
Yeah.
It would be great to get a surprise round.
I mean, she's still got to like go shopping and like make shopping lists and stuff like that. Actually, so like
she's expecting us though, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, she is.
What if you go in and we stealth around?
Suddenly you guys hear in your head,
"Oh, that is an interesting plan."
Oh, fuck.
You think the center of this fungal network can't hear exactly what y'all are doing?
Or was it our plan for you to hear all along?
She's got you there.
And also, what should I call you? Because I got a meemaw. So are you just mother?
I might watch your mouth, youngin', considering I got
all these mushrooms around you. And you see they start like pulsating, these big bulbous like balloon mushrooms. What if I were to just make a few of these go pop?
I hate to burst your bubble, but most of us already got the rot, so.
All right, then.
Oh, I mean, stop me, though, if someone else doesn't no, want hey, to pop it.
We all already have crick rot.
Yeah.
You hear her laugh, and she goes, sorry, excuse me, where are my manners? I am being inhospitable. And you see the mushrooms around you guys all deflate and hang down as if dead, giving you a clear path to the giant mushroom. And she goes, why don't we quit pussyfooting around and meet face to face? Welcome home, baby.
It's all, yeah, let's just go do it,
and,
right?
And that's where we'll end it? What do
you- And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh, yeah, yoy.
Oh, boy.
Woo.
Hey, Moonshine, I already fucked over my mom. Let's go fuck over yours.
Yeah.
Like, mom hunters.
Trying to decide how to feel about it, but I'm a sea witch now, so that's
cool.
Oh,
my
cool.
God. That's what good. Martha Togold was behind this all along.
This is all her fault.
It does smell like Cinnabons here.
Oh, no.
Guys, head on over to patreon.com/nadpod to listen to the after show, our short rest.
Ooh, it's going to be a doozy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're about to fight Maribel, guys.
Yes.
Exciting.
Who?
The player, I'm very excited. Moonshine is just juggling a lot of emotions. So.
Yeah.
Guys, buy me and Emily's book, Hey Up, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get it on Audible, a satirical relationship advice book. Caldwell, how do you watch Big City Greens?
You can watch it on Amazon or iTunes or on the Disney Now app. I'm not sure when it's airing on Disney Channel, but it should be airing. They're doing reruns on Disney XD all summer, for the rest of the summer, so you can check it out there.
Very good. Of course, listen to If I Were You. Follow us on Twitter at chmurf is me, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake, at Eaxford is Emily, at Caldy is Caldwell, and tweet about the show using hashtag. And tweet hashtag? About the show using hashtag NADPOD.
You can't edit it.
POD.
We are the youth of a nation. We are. The youth of a nation.
Hashtag. Come on.
Hashtag.
Fuck all y'all. Hey guys, it's the end of the show, and that means we need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders.
Oh yeah, y'all do us so right.
Oh, that's right. You can get a sexy reading from Emily and myself, starting with...
Matthew M.
Woohoo, cut me off, I like it. You sassy girl.
Matthew M, the Bullywog Prince, a real naughty playboy of a prince too. Much more of a Harry than a William, also has a gorgeous set of ginger locks just like Harry.
Joanne, the lover of Lucy, turned to the fiance of Lucy. As Bohemia's hottest couple, the tabloids are already vying for exclusive access to the wedding pictures.
Ooh, Brad D, the only pebble pot that isn't craven. Brad D actually volunteered as a smoke jumper during the recent spate of wildfires in the Livingwood.
Aw, ain't that nice of him. J Loma 72, aka Steelbreaker, hard ones at Gymspiration, started a fad diet called Sliders, Crawdaddies, and the Brown Stuff, and it turned into a best-selling ebook.
Okay, I could do that.
I'd buy that in a hardcover.
I'd buy that in a hardcover, display it on my mantle. Andrew A, aka Feldspar Lydgarden, the half elf. During the Giant Wars, Feldspar mocked and ridiculed the notoriously neutral elves until they were shamed into joining the war.
Ooh, Taylor Papa the Sixth, a legendary bard to whom no item isn't an instrument. Once played the demonic spider web on the river like a harp and brought all the sickled-handed shrooms to tears.
Do they cry black tar tears? I hope. Okay. Dylan B., a super weak wizard who wields 12 swords. Unfortunately, this means Dylan spends a lot of money on custom scabbards.
They look good, though.
They do.
Simon W., the bootleg of Hard Won Soft Loss. Simon orders his sliders bunless and failed his airship driver's test, but he did reject Hard Won's ex when she tried to rebound with him.
Oh, what integrity!
Ultimately, a better life.
Danny P., Bohemia's resident artist, painted Hardwon's senior portrait at the Dwarfenage. Danny P. also painted a series of harrowing pictures of what life was really like in the Dwarfenage and is known as Iron Deep's Jacob Rees.
Oh. Tom P., father of the realm, serenader of sleeping babies. If you've been rocked to slumber by Tom P., Maribel can't enter your dreams and taunt you.
Wow. Moonshine could have used that. Thank you very much, Tom P. Spencer Caskbrew, a patron elder of libations, ale maker to gods and heroes of Bohemia alike, made a cocktail so tasty that one time even Skullis couldn't resist a sip.
And he likes to keep a clear mind.
He does.
Pedro E., Bard of the Mountains. The Forest have been aggressively trying to recruit Pedro E. because their bards suck, but Pedro E. is committed to the mountains.
You know, that is also integrity. Don Lemon the Dwarf, a rich dwarf from a nice part of Iron Deep. Don Lemon the Dwarf's daddy is a lawyer, so them and their friends are always getting away with shit. Fuck that, you know? Come on, Don Lemon.
Don Lemon is a privileged dwarf. Griffin SD, a.k.a. The Stranger, the Silver Dragonborn Eldritch Knight and owner of the Badger's Pint Inn and Tavern. It should be noted that the Badger's Pint Inn has a killer continental breakfast with a make-your-own waffle bar and 24-hour pool access.
That is nice. I bet it's adults only, right? Beardman Dan's beard is so thick and complex, it is home to several species of birds, including Hardwon's crow, Hard 2, before Hard 2 got lost in the fog.
Gotta get him back to that beard. Then there's Scott D. Has crick rot, but has such a high constitution he hasn't noticed yet. Sorry to break it to you, Scott D.
Aaron C. has one level in every class. Just runs around casting spells, raging, singing, and attacking at the same time. A goddamn whirlwind.
Hermes W., the Bat King, has never met Batman, but did meet the bats that traumatized him into becoming Batman, and yes, those bats swear fealty to him.
Love a good swearing of fealty. Okay, T. Alex, the strongest bard who ever lived. Not the best singer, but can outlift any musician in the land.
That's a useful skill. Harley S., a traveling wizard who once tricked the Crick Elves into buying designer sticks from him. The sticks were pretty nice, though.
Okay, Moonshine has one. It was pretty nice. She, displays that. Parker E., an Esri journalist who bravely reported on Professor Duddle's treachery long before the Band of Boobs ever knew about it. He was captured and had his memory erased, though, so he doesn't even remember how brave he is.
Tragic. Kyle McHugh, owner and operator of Bohemia's own McQuonald's franchise.
Woo woo, I'm loving it.
Bought out the original owners, the McQuonald brothers, then franchised the restaurant. The story is chronicled in the Michael Quiglis movie, The Quounder.
RJW, the werewolf who accidentally bit Luna and gave her lycanthropy due to a heavy makeout session. It was supposed to be a hickey, but now she's a werewolf.
Gotta be careful. Spartus, the fastest crick elf in all the land, faster even than Old Cobb, though his V isn't quite as vicious.
Not as deep. The sweat doesn't pool quite the same. Adam R. wields a two-handed axe. One-handed. Doesn't even use a shield or anything. Just kind of punches people with the other hand. So it's like, why not just use two hands on the axe, right?
Because it looks cool. Brent B. taught Alanis magic. Not wizard magic, though. The magic of music. Introduced Alanis to all of the coolest bands. He's essentially her rad bard uncle.
Nice. Cassandra MHP, used to man the cannon on the SS Stormborn, has shot 30 giants in the frickin' face and 14 in the nuts.
Oh boy. Matt C., aka Matty Big Crits, Matthias of House Crit, savior of Hardwon and Ol' Cobb, legally changed his name from Matthew to Matthias due to mounting pressure from our fan base.
Yeah, not to mention, if he's, you know, Matthias is going to be a saint, and you need a saint name. Danielle the Dastardly Dame is so sneaky, she once broke into Balnor's house and replaced all of his tuna fish sandwiches with tuna salad sandwiches as a goof. Balnor didn't notice.
QC, a.k.a. Haldor Frostback, MVP of the Giant Wars, crewed on the SS Stormborn and fought alongside Elias in Red, a barbarian warrior from the frigid north, always shirtless, even in frigid temperatures, does feel the cold but just needs to show off that rippling body.
Kind of like an ice Fabio, if you think about it. Manny the mundane, accidental deity who got in the way of a lich's spell to reach divinity. When you look in your fridge and suddenly remember that you have leftovers, that's Manny watching over you.
Manny bless us all. Daniel Yu, a.k.a. Multifor, the owner of a sweet boat that sounds like Gilbert Gottfried. Also, he kind of sounds like Gilbert Gottfried. Is he making the boat talk? Is he just talking into a little loudspeaker? Dude?
This is the Questions on Questions. Jordan DJ, a legendary DJ of the realm, did a set in the Elemental Chaos and the Water Daughter rolled so hard the police had to call the Fire Daddy to come pick her up. Embarrassing.
And they do not call the cops often in the Elemental Chaos. It is chaotic there. Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, born of the sword, friend of Cord, and has a really cool Rubik's Cube, so he never gets bored.
You know, it's not... Rubik's Cubes are the thinking man's fidget spinner. Xavier C. once got green shade so high that he legit had to take a nap.
And that dude can smoke.
Yeah.
Cutter W., a high elf dandy turned Crick Stump Attect. Cutter was commissioned to do a complete rebuild of Moonshine Stump after the plumbing backed up from too many youngins upper decking her toilet.
Recently, someone pointed out to me that we should be saying Barkitect instead of Stump Attect, and it's making me question my entire life. Lex S., a Genasi rogue waiting in the wings to become Bev's next dad.
The door's always open for that. John S., a.k.a. Schubert the Mushroom. Moonshine spores actually made him double in size. He's still adorable, but he's kind of jacked now.
Oh, I love it. You know, size in the right places. Mm. James B., a super aggro werewolf that bit Luna. Dang, she's getting bit left and right in these Council Elders. Now, he makes a living touring Bohemia and competing in backyard wrestling matches and fighting rings. Kind of like Wolverine in that regard.
Right, Wolverine's a backyard wrestler, right? Ryan M. Ryan once made lunch for Matthias of House Crit. It's believed that the scallions in his tuna sandwich are what gave Maddie C. the strength to save Hardwon and Old Cobb.
Stop everything. I fucking love scallions. Shout out to scallions. Elena C. once made a bullywog mating call so effective that she dated that bullywog king for 4 months.
You can get to know someone pretty well in 4 months.
I know.
Andrew M., the closest thing Hardwon had to a track rival in high school. Always beat Hardwon in the steeplechase, but nothing else.
And of course, Ricky, a.k.a. Tricky Ricky of the Cricky. Ricky's fine wine shows everyone a good time, and it will often blow their mind. Hey, Ricky.
Andrew R. once got super fucked up and kicked Scullus' ass, which was upsetting to Scullus because he was sharp and sober as ever, and he felt every hit.
Cannibalistic Cthulhu once beat Cord in a pissing match, and he didn't even really have to go.
That's God pee.
Wow.
Michael McD, head mixologist at the Blue Mana Inn, and makes a delicious Bloody Mary that legit has three sliders on top of the glass.
Ooh, I'd love to see the toothpick that could handle that load. And, of course, Blitzkrieg Dimitri, famous Dwarger who owns and runs the beloved franchise Dwarger's Big Burger. They do this awesome thing where they mix onion rings and fries so you never have to choose.
Victor T., Balnor's boy, whose loving dad was ripped from his family and transported to another world. As is custom for his family, Victor mourns his father's loss by wearing black socks under a pair of ceremonial tivas.
Henry A., Beverly's horseback riding instructor. Try as he might, Henry couldn't prevent Bev from getting repeatedly kicked in the face.
Kids had a lot of concussions. Penfield, the legendary satyr sensei who taught the satyr squad all of their dance moves, has a floor-length ponytail that doubles as a deadly whip.
Oh, what a beautiful death that would be. RJS, a world-famous artist who uses magic paintbrush to bring monsters to life. They've only managed to create two tiny kobolds, though, because the paint isn't magic and it's hella expensive.
Colin G., president of the Gnomes, tried to start a PR campaign to show that not all gnomes are charlatans and pranksters, but got killed halfway through their term while trying to pants a dwarf.
Oh, of course. You know, you can't resist it. Austin L., a tailor who specializes in weird fantasy garments. Are you urging for jerkins, reaching for breeches, loony for tunics? Austin will hook you up.
Lance W., the barbarian leader of the much less popular No-Tooth clan, loves oatmeal even more than Balnor.
Oh, that's you know, no-teeth oatmeal is going to be your go-to, although sometimes you got to chew oatmeal. Justin I., the world's only spaghetti wizard, made a pact with a pasta demon and can now summon noodles at will, currently debating whether or not they also want to make a pact with a meatball demon.
Eli A. owns a pet store that specializes in familiars, offers an awakening seminar every third Friday.
Wow, but be careful who you awaken, you know. Caleb, a.k.a. the Banisher. This dude just loves banishing things. I once saw them banish an entire movie theater for talking during the Meg. No warnings or nothing. Caleb is ice cold like that.
I actually heard the Meg is pretty good. Clayton M., the Pope of Bohemia. Bet you didn't think there'd be a Pope in a fantasy setting. Guess again, dummy. Catholicism exists here, too. The only small difference is that their god is an immortal worm from space.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
TJM possesses a huge enchanted gauntlet known as the Hand of Unending Malice that is currently collecting dust under their bed because they lost the instruction booklet for it.
Gotta keep it in the box. The Professional, an incredibly cute tabaxi assassin who kills their victims with kindness. And also poison. Lots and lots of poison.
Oh, I'd love to set them up on a date with Papa. Jacob C., a blacksmith in Galateron who possessed the forbidden knowledge of how to make a sword you could actually fuck. Despite their skill set, they still turned down Galad's request because he skeeved them out.
He'll do that. Elena M., a best-selling Bohemian author who has penned over 200 cursed tomes. Their latest novel, a book bound in flesh with a huge single eye crying blood, just hit the New York Times top 10.
Oh, and finally, Mick Pucks, the Codemaster, the digital hero who is tirelessly coding our website, created a potion that allows you to read all terms and conditions agreements instantaneously. Mark Zuckerberg personally curses Mick Pucks' name every night before bed.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Head on over to the Patreon to listen to our after-show short rest.
And chitter chatter.
Woo-hoo, and we will catch you guys next week with another episode. Thank you to our listeners, and thank you to our Patreon subscribers. Catch you guys next time.
We love you. Mm-hmm.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.